Chapter 20. After some intercession from Dr. Deaton and Melissa McCall, Stiles is allowed into Danny's hospital room with Derek and Lydia in tow. It's been about 6 hours since he was injured, and he's been out of surgery for about two. He's heavily bandaged, but breathing on his own, with only a nasal cannula for support. That's good news, since an hour previous he had still been on a ventilator. Despite the ominous rumbles and talk about life support, and even organ donorship at first, Danny is starting to rapidly improve as the werewolf healing kicks in. Stiles won't let himself breathe a sigh of relief until Danny actually wakes up, but the panic is fading. He's growing to really hate hospitals. It's not as visceral a reaction as his claustrophobia is, but it's getting close. He feels pent up, trapped, even though he has plenty of space. He hasn't needed to leave. Periodic texts from the others have informed him that, after indulging in a half-hour-long sulk, Jackson curled up and went to sleep. He slept like the dead, not surprising given how much magic it must have taken to summon up that monster, and so Stiles has not needed to go home to check on him. That's good, because he really doesn't want to leave until Danny's woken. When he does, he's going to want his alpha. Then there was the interesting text message conversation between himself and his father that had taken place about an hour after their arrival at the hospital. Sheriff Stilinski had texted him to say, "Jackson's parents called me. He's not at home like he should be. Watch your back." Stiles texted back, "We have Jackson in the penalty box." Almost 10 minutes passed before Stilinski replied, "I don't want to know. What should I tell his parents?" "Nothing," Stiles replied, and now he has the distinct impression that his father is annoyed with him. He sits down in the chair next to Danny's bed and rubs both hands over his face. "I should never have gotten him involved in this," he mutters. Lydia pulls another chair up beside Danny, angling it so she's partially facing Stiles, so one of her knees is brushing his. The contact is for both her own comfort and her alpha's. Derek is standing behind Stiles, pressed to the back of his chair, close enough for Stiles to lean back into him. He reaches down to put a hand on Stiles' shoulder. A hug would have been better, but there's only so much room, just like there are only two chairs. He knows better than to bring in another, in case the doctors and nurses need room. "Don't be stupid," Lydia tells Stiles. Even though the words are harsh, her tone is comforting. "You didn't. All you did was give him some direction. He came to you, remember?" "Yeah," Stiles says. "I just can't get over the nagging feeling that Jackson is so not worth all this. Although I guess he did the right thing when Danny's life was on the line. At least he still cares about something other than himself." Lydia reaches out and curls her fingers over Danny's leg, holding him through the blanket. "God knows I'm angry at Jackson. I would love to break some of his bones. I really would. But Danny has known him longer, and always known him better." She looks over at her unconscious friend. "Maybe he's just a better and more forgiving person than I am. I don't know." "I don't think that's it," Stiles says with a sigh. "But I guess this means that there's hope for Jackson yet." He studies the monitors for a few minutes. He's gradually learning what they mean and how to read them. Everything looks stable. "I think he's doing better." Lydia relaxes and lays her head down on her arm. She looks more vulnerable than normal, with her hair in disarray and her makeup smudged. "Am I a bad person for being a little happy about this? About having him in the pack?" "I don't think you're a bad person." Stiles reaches out and rubs her knee, where it knocks against his. Not in a romantic way, but just because that's the easiest part of her to reach. "I mean, it wasn't fun getting here, but the outcome's not a bad thing. Not for us, at least. It's like, I'm not happy that Peter went off his head and bit you and Scott, but I am happy that we have the pack, you know? Lydia nods. Thanks. After a moment, she smiles a little. It'll be nice to have somebody completely well-adjusted for once. Derek lets out a snort of disbelieving laughter. Not possible. Not in this pack. There must be something. Well, given how much time we're going to have to spend keeping him from climbing you like a tree, Styles says. I don't even know what that means, Derek says. Lydia's head comes up. Wait, really? Yes, really. Derek scowls, but on its own, it's more like a petulant pout. You clearly don't spend enough time on the internet. Styles regains some of his usual spirit. It means he wants to jump your bones, do the horizontal mambo, knock boots, bump uglies. Am I coming through here? In an exaggerated tone, he says, do you understand me? Derek puts a hand over Styles' mouth. I don't know. His tone is amused. Sometimes when you get going, I just tune you out. Styles replies. In any case, Lydia says, I will climb you like a tree is both a compliment and a warning that if you hold still too long, there will be imminent sexual happenings. I see, Derek says. Styles pulls Derek's hand away from his mouth and snickers. Maybe you should give him a kiss to see if it wakes him up, charming. Derek picks up Styles' chair, Styles and all, and moves it out of the way. Then he leans over and presses his lips carefully against the younger man's. It's soft and non-sexual, but he doesn't pull away immediately. He spends a moment just watching Danny, then rubs his cheek to Danny's before standing up. I don't think it worked. Holy crap, Lydia says, fanning herself. I need a little alone time after that. Styles clears his throat. Just when I think I'm a zero on the Kinsey scale, he agrees. Danny's gonna flip his shit when he finds out he slept through that. I'm pretty sure that just being part of a pack moves you to at least an automatic 2, Derek says. Otherwise you'd be uncomfortable with all the physical contact. Should I leave you two alone? No, but you should do it again so I can get a photo, Lydia says, whipping out her phone. What? Derek gives her an incredulous look. No. But we have to. Otherwise Danny won't believe it ever happened. Think of it as his first lesson in wolf senses. He'll have to figure out whether you're lying or not on his own. Derek grins at Lydia. Not the scary grin, but the one that means he's honestly amused. Styles just shakes his head at both of them, and the conversation falters when the nurse comes in to check Danny's vitals. She reassures them that everything is stable, and tells them that they were able to get a hold of Danny's parents, and they're taking the next flight home. Styles interprets that as, so enjoy your ICU privileges while you've got them. He exchanges a few quick texts with Scott to be assured that Jackson isn't causing any trouble. Several hours pass in silence before Danny lets out a slight groan and shifts slightly. Hey, Danny, Styles says, leaning over him. Thinking about joining us? Danny's immediate thought was to wonder if he had drunk too much the previous evening, as his mind starts to rise out of its sleepy, foggy haze. It finally filters in that everything hurts. He tries to move, and that just makes things worse. All of it fades when he hears that voice saying his name. The pain, the confusion, it all gets pushed to the background. As his attention is pulled to that voice, he realizes, a second later, that he knows that voice. Styles. It's Styles. He opens his eyes, one hand reaching out blindly. Styles grabs that fumbling hand and grips it tightly. You're okay, he says, his voice so firm that it's almost a command. You're okay, Danny. Just take your time. Danny tries to curl his fingers around Styles in a tight grip, but everything feels weak right now. Styles' words somehow make it easier to breathe and let him look around a little. Although his gaze keeps going back to the younger teenager after only short periods away. He's in a hospital. He needs Styles. Lydia's here. Derek the hottie is here. No Jackson. There had been some sort of monster. He's starting to remember bits and pieces. What happened? He asks. Or at least tries to, but only gets the first word out. Then he starts hacking because his throat is so dry that it's burning. I'm going to go get the doctor, Lydia says quietly, and departs without another word. Styles just continues to hold Danny's hand while Derek goes over to the sink to get him a little cup of water, holding it to his mouth. You were hurt, Styles tells Danny, as he takes careful sips. Don't worry about the details right this second, okay? The important part is that you're going to be okay. Danny takes a few experimental sips, then nearly gulps the rest down, suddenly incredibly thirsty. Once the cup is empty, he looks back to Styles. Everyone else? Jackson? They're all okay? A few of the wolves got a little banged up, but yeah, they're all doing a damn sight better than you are, Styles says. And Jackson's fine, if having a major freak out. Styles glances up as a nurse and doctor rush into the room and lets go of Danny's hand so he can move to the corner of the room, out of the way while they check Danny over. Danny's gaze tracks Styles, Lydia, and Derek. He really wishes that at least one of them was in touching distance. He does pay attention to the doctor telling him about his injuries, how well surgery went, and that if he keeps up at this rate of healing, he'll be out of the hospital in a day or two. He nods, makes what he hopes are appropriate noises, but when the doctor's gone, he turns back to Styles. What's going on? He asks, because even drug-addled, he's starting to see the oddities in his own behavior. And he'd have to be an idiot to miss the contradictions of what the doctor had said. Styles takes the chair and waits until the nurse is gone. You were hurt. Really badly hurt. His voice is a little flat now, like he's trying not to let his emotions show. We were afraid you wouldn't make it, so we turned you into a werewolf so you would have the faster, more capable healing. He swallows convulsively, reaching for Danny's hand, but not taking it. I'm sorry. We're never, ever supposed to turn someone without permission, but you... Derek comes up behind Styles and wraps his arms around the younger man. If you're too angry to deal with us, I'll make some calls and do everything I can to find you another pack to be part of. Danny watches the two of them, and for the first time, he somehow really understands how the two of them are made for each other, and that Styles would bend over backwards to fix this. Finally, he says, Are you apologizing for saving my life? Styles manages a wan smile at this. It's kind of a joint apology for that and for putting you in a situation where turning you into a frickin' werewolf was the only solution. Danny's hand twitches. He clearly wants to reach out. You didn't put me in this position. I kind of hounded you, remember? Even after learning that dying was totally an option. Yeah, Styles says. But it never seems real till you get there. Trust me, I know. Danny reaches for Styles again, but then aborts the mission, something telling him that he should wait for Styles' permission. Well, I'm not mad. I am thirsty. Forget hand-holding. He sort of wants to curl up in Styles' lap, which feels distinctly odd. This time, Styles sees the motion. He reaches out with one hand and grasps Danny's. With the other, he smooths Danny's hair back and out of his face. Lydia, would you get him a drink? He asks, and she nods, taking the cup back over to the sink and filling it again. The good news is that you'll probably be feeling better in a few hours. The healing powers really do kick ass. Thank God. Danny takes the cup from Lydia and says, So... Is that bond you were talking about the reason I suddenly want to use you as a pillow? What? You don't think it's my natural good looks and charm? Stiles asks. That earns Stiles a smile. If it was Derek, maybe. But you aren't exactly my type.
Touché,
Stiles says. But yeah, wolves are... He glances at Derek, and his lips quirk into a smile of his own. Naturally tactile creatures. Which is how General Stoic over there puts it, when what he really means is, Stiles, let me cuddle with you all the time. Derek smiles. Stiles, I'm going to wring your neck. He sounds positively cheerful about it. Stiles ignores him. Other things you're going to notice sooner rather than later. Your sense of hearing and smell will be better. Particularly hearing. To the point where cell phones ringing and people whistling will drive you crazy. That'll even out after a few days. You're also going to be really hungry. Really soon. The healing uses up a lot of energy, and your body is going to want fuel to replace it. Yes, before you ask, this is one reason why I'm always cooking. Denny huffs. Well, now I know why Scott and Isaac make all those faces at practice. Finstock's whistle. Yep, Stiles says. He hesitates, curling his hand around Danny's, and says, One more thing you should know. About Jackson, if you're feeling up to it. Danny nods, even though he's not sure he is. Better to get it over with. Since you were unconscious, we gave Jackson the choice of whether or not we should turn you, Stiles says. We had to ask somebody. He gave us permission. He waits a beat. I would have done it even if he had said no, if we're going to be honest. But he said yes. He was willing to let you be part of my pack if it meant saving your life. Something in Danny abruptly relaxes. Oh, thank God he's still in there. Stiles nods and squeezes his hand. We'll get him back, I swear to you. I don't know how yet, but we'll find a way. Thank you, Danny says, for doing this for me. Because now he somehow knows, without a doubt, that he is why Stiles is trying to save Jackson. For now, at least, we have him in the penalty box, Stiles says. But that won't last forever. Hopefully we'll get you out of here tomorrow, so you can talk to him. Because if anyone can talk sense into him, it's gonna be you. After this, he might be willing to listen. If not, I'll punch him in the face, Denny mutters, shifting a little as he tries to find a more comfortable position. I've earned that. Can't argue with you there, Stiles says. His phone chirps, and he takes a look, and laughs despite himself. Well, the good news is that some associates of mine have gotten your backyard taken care of. They even got all the red paint off the pavement. Apparently, Allison's father was so impressed by the shot she used to take that motherfucker down that he's offering to buy her a cheesecake of her choice. She says she'll share it with you. Awesome, Denny says. He feels his eyelids drooping, which surprises him, given that he just woke up. Derek notices and says, The healing takes a lot of energy. You should sleep if you want. Denny nods and closes his eyes, then opens them again. He tries to think of a manly way to ask the question he wants to ask, and comes to the conclusion that there just isn't one. You guys...
Someone will be right here,
Lydia promises, folding his hand into hers. It may not always be the three of us, but we won't leave you alone. Okay, Danny says, glad that she didn't make a big deal out of it. He closes his eyes and is asleep a few moments later. Around 9 p.m., Jackson wakes up and starts bitching about everything he can think of. Stiles grudgingly leaves Danny's hospital room for his house. Erica and Isaac come to pick him up. After some debate, Derek agrees to stay at the hospital with Danny. He's the best thing they've got for an alpha stand-in, in case Danny wakes up again. Lydia obviously isn't going anywhere, so they can watch out for each other. Jackson has recovered enough to glare fiercely at Stiles when he enters.
You can't fucking keep me in here forever, he snarls.
You're right, Stiles says,
and sweeps his hand through the ash, breaking the circle. With me! Jackson is obviously taken aback by this, but realizes soon enough that they're only going as far as the bathroom.
Do you mind?
He asks.
What, you think I'm stupid enough to turn around?
Stiles asks.
Be thankful I'm not offering to hold your dick. Go.
Now Jackson is even more furious, but does his business without further complaint. Stiles waves him back into the other room and puts him right back in the circle. Before he seals him in, he hands over a bag from a local Chinese takeout place. Jackson gives him a suspicious look.
Eat, Stiles says. I know you must be hungry as fuck after all that magic you did.
Grumbling, Jackson pulls out a container of chicken lo mein and one of egg rolls, complete with sweet and sour sauce. He blinks at them and then says,
How did you know?
I asked Danny, Stiles says, resisting the urge to add, Duh.
Danny's awake? He's okay?
Jackson demands.
Yeah, he's healing up all right,
Stiles says. He'll probably get out of the hospital sometime tomorrow. Jackson folds his arms over his chest and snaps,
Then you didn't need to turn him. Are you fucking kidding me?
Stiles asks.
You were there while his brains were leaking out all over the pavement, so stop acting like such a fucking dick and eat your dinner.
There's a long moment while Jackson just glares at him, but then he picks up the food and starts shoving it into his mouth faster than could be considered dignified. Stiles sighs with some relief and backs off to let him have his dinner. He's thinking about maybe taking a nap since he's home. But then, of course, the door opens and his father comes in. Sheriff Stilinski takes one look at Jackson inside the mountain ash circle and clearly considers turning around and going right back the way he came.
That bad, huh?
Stiles asks and offers him the orange chicken he had gotten his father.
Worse, Stilinski says, accepting the food.
Jackson's parents have been calling me just about every half hour. Someone saw him arrive at Danny's, and then they found out Danny was hurt, and now they're hysterical because they think Jackson pushed Danny off his balcony. Stiles grimaces. From the living room, Jackson nearly chokes on his lo mein.
What the fuck? He shouts. Why do they think I did that?
Because they think you're psycho, Stiles says.
Try to keep up.
To his father, he adds, What did you tell them?
Per your instructions, Stilinski says dryly, I haven't told them anything.
Okay, well, why don't you give them a call and say Danny's woken up? He's going to make a full recovery, and he confirms that they were just goofing around, nobody pushed him. He didn't know Jackson was grounded, so he didn't realize Jackson was supposed to be at home. He doesn't know where Jackson went after he fell, but someone obviously called the paramedics, so clearly he took care of his friend. That ought to calm them down at least a little. Stilinski nods and reaches for his phone. Everyone else stays quiet while he makes this call, ending it with,
I'm sure he's fine, Mike. I'll track him down.
Uh-huh. Yes, I'll keep you posted. Jackson waits until Sheriff Stilinski is off the phone before looking at Stiles and saying,
Again, you can't keep me here forever.
Sad, but true, Stiles agrees. Sooner rather than later, I'm going to have to figure out what to do with you. Until then, you'll just have to try to enjoy our company. He sees Jackson's scowl grow deeper. And since you're wondering why your parents think you may have hurt Danny, I'll take this opportunity to remind you that you did hurt Danny. You may not have done it on purpose, but you still did it. As for what we're going to do with you, I'm thinking we're going to have to find a way to take your magic away.
What?
Jackson's voice rises. He actually sounds somewhat panicky.
You can't do that!
Well, no, I can't, Stiles says, but I think I know someone who can. Seeing the look on Jackson's face, he takes pity on him.
Magic is addictive, Jackson, and it's gotten its hooks in you pretty deeply. You're going to quit cold turkey starting now. that is the beginning and end of your list of choices. But Jackson looks so lost and bewildered that even Styles starts to feel sorry for him. Look, he says, we can talk about this tomorrow. The important thing for now is that Danny's going to be okay. Your parents are worried, but they don't think you're a budding serial killer. And I could really use a few hours of sleep. And we have school tomorrow. Fuck, what's that about? He rubs his hands over his face, trying to work this out. He hasn't done a jot of his homework, so there's really no point in going. Derek and I will stay with Danny. Whoever has the fewest academics will stay with Jackson, so Erica and... I will, Isaac says. I don't mind missing my math test, that's for sure. And everyone else has parents that the school might call. Styles nods. His father sighs and says, I'll call the school and tell them you're sick. Isaac gives him a smile that's almost shy. That, thanks for being a better dad than my real dad, smile that breaks everyone's heart. Thanks, Papa Stalinsky. Styles yawns and stretches. Okay, he says. I'm going to nap till I wake up screaming, and then I'm going back to the hospital. The rest of you, do whatever. Someone come cuddle with me. I'm done with this macho bullshit, and Derek is still at the hospital. I need me some wolf snuggles, or I won't fall asleep at all. You're adorable, Erica tells him, looping an arm around his waist. Allison comes over on his other side, smiling at him as she hooks an arm around his neck. Come on, let's go pass out. As they go up the stairs, Styles hears Jackson, who's obviously pissed off about Styles leaving the room with a gorgeous girl on each arm, say, what the fuck was he talking about, till he wakes up screaming. You don't want to know, Scott says, so don't ask.